the whole 6010. Hello and welcome to Fantasy Focus Football. It is Wednesday, October 5th. Daniel, Stefania, and Field here. This show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico and see all the ways that you could save. Wow. I am excited to be able to be here. We're on to week 5 now, officially. Everything is done. We're talking rankings today. Why are you always laughing at me, Stefania?
I know. I was just trying to get the significance of the backwards hat today.
Well, what I know what the significance is.
Tell me.
I told this to Daniel before the show began, but if anybody here is familiar with the legendary Jay and Silent Bob, some of like the all-time great flicks, Daniel looks like if Jay and Silent Bob were collaged into one person right now.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Thank you. Well done right there. Go watch any of their iconic films if you haven't already.
Iconic.
So good. Mallrats, just hilarious.
Oh, gosh.
That's like what, early 2000s probably?
Oh, yeah. I see where
No, Mallrats. Like there were some like all
late
time.
Late 90s, like, early 2000s, I think.
And I'm usually the one that like we mention a reference like 5 years old and I'm like, I don't know what.
Who is Justin Timberlake? Were in the 80s.
Okay, well, that's, I can,
there can be. Breakfast at Tiffany's and those kind of. Well, I'm with Field on this one though.
Breakfast Club.
Wait, did I say Breakfast at Tiffany's? Sorry, that's
a great song. One Hit Wonders, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think they're one-hit wonder.
Yeah. So if you have the chance to go watch the video stream, if you haven't already, watch it and you'll understand exactly what I am talking about, even if Stefania has no idea what I'm talking about.
Yes, please do.
And watch it tonight, too.
It's so great, Stefania.
It's hilarious. Yeah.
That's what I'm doing tonight.
Yeah, you and Rico.
I'm going to watch more.
What a lit Wednesday night you've got, huh?
It's a pretty rad date.
My life is pretty exciting.
Well, this is coming from the guy who watched preseason NBA basketball last night. Like, I'm sitting there and I was like, wow, the Pistons look kind of frisky.
Right?
Yeah. I talked myself into Isaiah Hartenstein, the new Knicks center, averaging like 10 points and 10 boards this year.
I love it.
The things you do on a Tuesday night.
That's right.
In the NFL season.
All right. We are going to jump into a bunch of news today. We've got rankings because it's Wednesday. That's what we do on rankings. Yeah. We talk about it. And our good friend Liz Loza is going to stop by and tell us everything that you need to know about her ranks. But first, Stefania, we're going to start with you and we're going to talk about some injuries.
Why do you get all sad and depressed?
Well, because I never know if it's going to be good news or bad news. Hopefully, with Keenan Allen, he's been out last couple of weeks. Do we get good news on Keenan Allen potentially returning here in week 5?
I think we have uncertain news.
Uncertain news.
Yeah,
okay.
Uncertainty. I mean, Brandon Staley, this is why we're talking about it, because he said we're going to make sure we're careful with Keenan Allen, which tells you that they're not thinking he's totally out of the woods. Like, this was an injury that happened in week 1. We started to get some encouragement last week because he came back to limited practice sessions. But that Thursday session, he was spotted leaving early with a member of the athletic training staff, didn't practice Friday. And it didn't sound like there was a setback, but it sounds like they're not confident that they're ready to move him forward. Chargers don't have a bye until week 8. If they return him, the last thing they want is that this turns into another 6 weeks. So I get the hesitation. And it's tricky. It's tricky to know when a guy is ready to return. But clearly the Chargers not confident yet. Let's see what the rest of the week holds.
Sure seems like the biggest beneficiary of Keenan Allen's absence has not been Josh Palmer.
It hasn't.
But instead, Gerald Everett, who has been really good. He's been a legit top 10 tight end so far this season. And if Keenan Allen is out again this week, I think Everett's good times continue to roll.
Agree with that. All right. Kenny Pickett has officially been named the starter in Pittsburgh just in time to take on the Buffalo Bills in week 5. Yeah.
Poor kid.
So I go back and forth on this one for this specific reason. Listen, Mike Tomlin has earned the benefit of the doubt. His process is, I just respect the hell out of him as a coach, as a man, as a leader, all of these things. I'm a little nervous, though, for this situation and given the timing of it. I almost feel like the Pittsburgh Steelers should have made this move 2 weeks ago or 2 weeks from right now, because they are about to put Kenny Pickett into the hornet's nest.
Did you see Mike Tomlin's comments yesterday when addressing all this about the change? And
yeah, he was
really
respectful of Mitch Trubisky. Yep.
Yeah, and he also tried to take the load off of Pickett, I think, by saying this is all of us.
Yeah.
And this is not just... I don't think they expect big things. He said something about Buffalo, like, I have concern.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so do I. I have concern for Kenny Pickett because it's Buffalo and Tampa Bay in back-to-back weeks, right? So really difficult schedule coming up here for Pittsburgh. You have to start somewhere, though. And so I don't foresee a breakout coming in this Pittsburgh offense. What I will tell you, though, is that there's nowhere for this offense to go but up, maybe after these next 2 weeks. So it might be a 2 week stall, but week 7 and beyond, there might be some hope here.
Here's what I'm concerned about, but also reason for optimism in the passing game. Steelers have a ton of defensive injuries. And the Bills are going to put up a ton of points.
They are, yeah.
So the Steelers are going to have to try to match the points somehow. And I don't know how successful they're going to be against that Bills defense.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot more opportunity to get some potential fantasy points.
Yeah, there might be. I'm still nervous for this week, and I'm nervous for the following week as well. But as we push things forward beyond that, there's where I start to get a little bit more optimistic. This is crazy to me. The Steelers' longest rushing play so far this season is 17 yards. Their longest passing play so far this season is 34 yards. They have zero explosive plays in an offense that features a guy drafted in the first round last year, Najee Harris, George Pickens, who looks like a potential gazelle out there on the field.
Yep.
Deontay Johnson, who's one of the better wide receivers in the NFL, and Chase Claypool, who all he did in his rookie season was make big plays.
Hey, Pat Freiermuth is no joke either.
Pat Freiermuth, a good, solid middle-of-the-field pass catcher as well.
Yep.
This offense has no explosion whatsoever, so it might be 2 weeks before we start to see it. But I think if you're somebody like, you know, me, who has Deontay Johnson and Najee Harris in the War Room League, better days are going to eventually come.
Yep.
Just be prepared for these next 2 weeks that if not much changes results-wise for the Steelers, I don't know that it's a Kenny Pickett problem. I think it might just be that they are facing perhaps the two best defenses they'll face all season, and that this offense, with the offensive line continuing to be a problem, is not exactly going to quick fix itself.
Yep. All right, one more piece of news here. Stefania, Gus Edwards has been designated to return from the PUP. You'd love to be able to see this, but it looks like Justice Hill is also dealing with some.
Yeah, he has a hamstring. I just think this is kind of watch the Ravens backfield. Obviously, they would like J.K. Dobbins to be the primary ball carrier, but he's still
getting
reintegrated. Yep. It looks good, but still. 8 rushes for 45 yards. They have been using Justice Hill. And so the fact that he has this hamstring issue where Harbaugh said he thinks they dodged a bullet, but they're also going to be careful with him. And then Gus Edwards, you know, he tore his ACL 2 weeks after J.K. Dobbins, and we're just going to see him back. Not sure how they're going to use him. Not going to be a ton yet. They have that 3 week window before they need to activate him, but it's just keep an eye on the Baltimore Ravens backfield.
I think the most pertinent thing here from Gus Edwards and the potential for a return at some point, whether it's maybe not this week, but next week or the week after, is that there's a chance that we get to week 10. Both Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins are back and reasonably acclimated from their injuries. And that this is a far bigger split than you would probably prefer, right? Because we're seeing some signs of life from J.K. Dobbins. He had 2 touchdowns last week. He's clearly a really talented guy. The Ravens love themselves Gus Edwards. They love Gus Edwards. So it may be that the apex for J.K. Dobbins, this may sound counterintuitive, but rather than it being at the end of the season when you would think you'd be at his healthiest because his knee has had that much more time to build back up from where it was, it may be that the best value for J.K. Dobbins ends up coming over the next, like maybe not this week because he's still not a 100% player, but maybe at some point over the next, let's call it 4 to 6 weeks, J.K. Dobbins' value reaches its peak and then it starts to level as Gus Edwards gets back into the mix because you would figure that once he's back to being close to 100%, he'll have a real role in that running game as he did prior to his own knee injury.
Yeah, the Ravens definitely want to have him
back. A backfield split, what everybody loves.
Love more of that. All right, we're going to talk about some rankings and whether or not players stay hot or not. Field, we're going to start with you.
One of the players that I felt like has been sort of just overlooked for the first 4 weeks of the season is Josh Jacobs of the Raiders. And I can't exactly put my finger on the pulse of it. I think it's probably in part because the Raiders started 0-3, and we were more focused in on the fact that Davante Adams had 2 catches in week 2 and they had 5 in week 3. And Derek Carr hasn't really come around, and Hunter Renfro's been out, and Darren Waller has been, I would say, disappointing.
We've been focusing elsewhere, though.
But it's elsewhere, right? Yeah. We've been paying our attention elsewhere, and we have lost track of the fact that Josh Jacobs, who the biggest question mark coming into this season was, wait, is he actually going to be the man in the Raiders' backfield? This is Josh McDaniels, a guy who loves those backfield committees. Moreover, you know, is Zamir White going to have some work here?
They declined his fifth-year option, which gave us some pause.
So all of these things that were sort of working against Josh Jacobs have seemingly been thrown aside because through 4 games, he has handled 83.7% of the backfield carries amongst running backs this year.
Wow.
It's 4th best in the NFL. So that puts him in the territory of CMC, Saquon, Joe Mixon. Josh Jacobs is 4th on that list. And he's not just getting carries. He's got back-to-back games with 5 catches. There was just 2 catches in the first 2 weeks, but we've seen the passing game work increase. He looks like a lineup lock right now. And, you know, running backs have been super frustrating this season. Jacobs is starting to look like one of those guys that
he looks good running. He's always been really talented, right?
He's always been
banged up, and you never felt like you saw him really live to the full potential.
And also, that offense was never exactly a juggernaut, right? Mm. So it felt like there were times where Josh Jacobs got lost in the shuffle, even the past few years. Now he's very much in the shuffle and looks like a potential keeper here as a top 15 back going forward, just based off utilization and skill.
Yeah, taking on the Kansas City Chiefs this week. So you're assuming there's going to be a high scoring game. And to your point, Field, five catches in each of the last two games. Maybe some of that passing game usage continues here as well as staying active on the ground.
As long as he's the guy, I'm cool with it, right? We have barely seen Zamir White this year. Yep. Amir Abdullah has no role. We thought after the preseason he could have some role. It's basically Josh Jacobs, a sprinkling of Brandon Bolden, and then throwing the football.
Yep. All right, Stefania, who do you want to talk about here?
Who do I always want to talk about?
Damian Pierce.
That is correct. The topic was stay hot or not.
Yes.
Damian Pierce is going to stay hot. Okay. I think he's going to stay hot all season. We talked in the beginning of the year about how he was behind Rex Burkhead, but he has made the case for himself to be the number one back for the Houston Texans. 67.3% of the running back touches this season, but notice over the last few weeks, he's reached up to 80.6%. Like, he definitely has swapped places with Rex Burkhead. Rex Burkhead averaging just under 3 yards a carry, Damian Pierce averaging 5.2 yards per carry. And now the thing that we cared about the most was that he was starting to get more involved in the passing game. He's caught 10 of 11 targets. So, you know, Burkhead's still a piece for them, but Damian Pierce is their primary back. He's had two top 10 finishes in the last 2 weeks. Damian Pierce, here to stay.
How about this? In week one, he had 19 snaps to Rex Burkhead's 49 snaps.
And we were all freaking out.
No.
Well, everyone other than Stefania, who was on him early, was freaking out.
Yeah. He had 100% of the running back carries in week four.
Yep.
Yeah. Every single running back carry went to Damian Pierce last week. One day we're going to get the untold. It may not be a 30 for 30. Maybe like a 30 for 30 short.
Like a 15 for 15. Happened.
Yeah. 15
Remember
for 15.
When we said that Lovie Smith was like, yeah, I was told he was going to get more work. I'm going to have to see what happened. I'm paraphrasing, but it was something like that.
What happened?
And I was like, I think Lovie Smith went and saw what happened. Yeah. No, I think that, but we talk about coach speak all the time, and maybe it's not for nothing, but I'm telling you, the buzz was too real at camp that I felt like that was ultimately going to happen. It's not a knock on Rex Burkhead. He's been solid for a long time, but this is the future for the Texans.
It sure seems to be the future for the Texans, and the future is now, which is good. So happy to see Damian Pierce getting those opportunities. I just still want to know. Maybe there's is there any content on ESPN Minus Plus about what happened in that game planning room?
Oh yeah, you know, this would be a great year for ESPN Minus. I'll tell you what, too.
I'm gifting it to Stefania.
So good. I love it. Yes, please leave a couple of reviews.
I have to pay Field in order to
stop
to take it off.
All right. I'm going to talk about somebody here that is near and dear to my heart.
Okay.
Let's see. And is it a lion?
It's Jared Goff. Oh, okay. Do you want to know why? I have Jared Goff ranked as quarterback 10 this week. Field, you've got him at 12.
Yeah, I'm a little more nervous than that.
A little more nervous. Liz has him at 14. He's quarterback one last week. Okay. Yep. Quarterback five on the season. He had 33.2 fantasy points last week, but part of that, they were in a shootout, right? And you're like, they can't be in a shootout every game.
Or can he?
Well, maybe. They can be.
Maybe.
Because the Detroit Lions and Jared Goff are averaging 35 points per game, and they need to because their defense is allowing 35.3 points per game.
I think it seems like the math is not in their favor.
It is not. And I hear you that eventually you think it's got to slow down.
I do. And here's why I think it slows down this week. Ugh. I'm a little bit lower on Goff, and I might actually move him down a spot or two.
Really?
I've got him at quarterback 12. You're right. He's been awesome. Jared Goff, how about this? There's one player in the NFL with two four touchdown games so far this season.
It's Jared Goff.
Jared Goff, only one. Josh Allen, no. Patrick Mahomes, no. Lamar Jackson, no. Jared Goff's the only one that's thrown four touchdown passes twice. He's been so good for fantasy so far. I went back and sort of combed through these first four games, so a little bit closer. And the past three games have been like legit shootouts, and I think against three defenses that don't exactly scare me right now, right? I mean, the Commanders' pass defense is a mess. Obviously, the Seahawks' defense is a mess as well. Vikings' defense, I would say, is underperforming. They've had some injuries, etc. The 1 week where they faced a stiff test was the Eagles, right? Jared Goff had 215 passing yards and two touchdowns, and that was a game that was garbage time, not a shootout, right? They were down big. They ended up making it a game. We're all like, oh my God, here we go again. Patriots' defense, not dominant, but they're still top 10 in terms of pass defense right now. they have, I would say, for the most part, done a pretty good job this season. Remember, Tua was relatively, he had one touchdown pass in week one. Aaron Rodgers was basically neutralized for a half last week. Patriots defense is better than what we've seen the past 3 weeks. And then moreover, we talked about this a bit yesterday. This game might profile as a slow it down game if you're the Patriots. As of right now, we don't know for sure, but as of right now, it seems like there's a chance, if not a real chance, that Bailey Zappe is the quarterback this week. And
fingers crossed.
We'll see. And I think that you're just going to try to grind it out more so than you are trying to, you know, just fire away and win this game. If you're the Patriots and you're trying to win this game, you're thinking to yourself, can we win it 21-14 as opposed to 34-31? So I think it slows down a bit this week. I think that it's a little bit more. So I've got them outside my top 10 for that reason, but super enthusiastic. And you take it away from here.
The reason why I'm nervous about them, because I'm with you. Like, what? Who, if they have Bailey Zappe under center, you got Jacoby Myers. And maybe. And who else are you really throwing the ball to, right? So you expect it to be a run-heavy game. And I think the Seahawks also last week tried to slow the game down. And you know what happened? The Lions' run defense is just awful. Rashad Penny just rushed for 150 yards while they were trying to slow the game down.
But
the
problem is that they couldn't. Broke up with before that game.
Well, the Seahawks could have slowed the game down on offense. They couldn't slow it down on defense, though, right? Like, the Seahawks defensively right now are just every game. It's like points and points and points and points and points. So maybe I'm way off here. I think Goff has a little bit of a comeback down to earth game.
I don't think you're way off.
The Patriots.
It's tough because he's not. If he was throwing in these shootouts for 350 yards and two touchdowns, then it would be different. But he's not getting the yardage. He's getting the touchdowns.
Right.
And I know the touchdowns are harder to predict.
They are. And so he had great production last week against the Seahawks. I just think this is a game that is a little bit lower scoring. Maybe I'm wrong, but I've got Goff outside my top 10 as a
result. If it's not Jared Goff, who's it going to be?
It's going to be Jamal Williams. But I want to do this real quick. I'm just going to put my money where my mouth is.
Okay? I feel a board bet coming.
Jared Goff finishes as a top 10 quarterback here in week 5.
Okay, good. I think Jared Goff does not finish as a top 10 quarterback in week 5.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
All right, there we go.
I actually have one. We can circle back to it later if we, in the interest of time. But I do have a thought. Maybe I'll shelve it for tomorrow about how the quarterback position has had a material change this year compared to previous years. Mm. And and Jared Goff, Geno Smith, who we'll talk about in just a minute. I'll mention Geno.
Deal.
I think okay. I'll mention.
All right. I'm going to talk about one more player.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about Jamal Williams.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I got some questions about Jamal. Okay.
Okay.
He's running back 6. On the season. He already has a career high in rushing touchdowns with 6 rushing touchdowns. And last week, without DeAndre Swift, we wanted to see the way he was going to be utilized by this Detroit Lions offense, because they have been utilizing both Swift and Jamal Williams. Were they going to give Craig Reynolds or anyone else a lot of run there?
Yep. And you're probably not going to have DeAndre Swift.
Jamal Williams had 19 of the 23 carries last week. You expect that to continue here this week. I have him as a top 10 play. Field, you have him as a top 10 play this week.
Yeah.
My question isn't about whether or not Jamal Williams is a good play here. My question is, understanding that Jamal Williams is getting so much run and did so well splitting time with DeAndre Swift early, is this the buy now window to be able to grab him? Is this the sell high window where you're able to, hey, this is peak value for someone before DeAndre Swift potentially comes back and has to split more time?
Yeah, we had this conversation, you and I, offline before the show, and my takeaway was this. Yes, you could potentially trade away Jamal Williams right now and possibly net like a real top legitimate asset. You and I were looking at this through the prism of like, there might be somebody out there who has Alvin Kamara, who's 1-3 right now on the ropes, and saying to themselves, like, I can't afford to lose another game. You might have Jamal Williams and be sitting much prettier at 3-1. And I would not expect this kind of deal to take place in a league that I play in, but I do think there are leagues that are driven by a little more emotion, and people would say, I want no part of the Alvin Kamara business, and I am going to make a deal that is structured around me trading away Alvin Kamara plus some goodies in exchange for Jamal Williams and some goodies. And I think there is a scenario in which a deal like that does actually get done. What I would also caution is that just because DeAndre Swift may return in week 7, doesn't guarantee that DeAndre Swift is going to stick around from week 7 through 18.
That's the rub here.
Second straight year, he's dealing with a shoulder injury. I don't know if it's the exact same one or not, Stefania, but that makes me a bit nervous about the possibility of recurrence going forward.
When I look at specifically, if there's one guy, though, that has overperformed based on what the expectations were, and maybe you try to get something out of it, you're either riding Jamal Williams the rest of the way because you expect it to continue, or you're trying to say, I'm going to capitalize on the value that he currently has now, or you're trying to find that sweet spot, right? Yeah. Just throwing it out there now, because at this point,
there's enough people dealing with either poor performance or running back injuries that you could probably find a willing trade partner.
And especially if they've started 1-3 or 0-4. Don't be that team. Just hold on to your underperforming superstar, finishes 3-13 at the end of the year. What's the point? So it's just some thoughts on Jamal Williams. Love him this week, but if you want to look, I don't mind being aggressive and trying to trade him for maybe a superstar running back that is underperforming.
To answer the question, stay hot or not, what do you think?
Stay hot. Stay hot at least for the next couple of weeks without DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, they have a bye next week, but maybe beyond that.
Beyond
we'll
that still.
So at least for week 5.
Yep.
I think Geno Smith does not stay quite as hot this week because I've got him at quarterback 16. The reason why is he's playing the Saints, who are top 10, at least in terms of completion percentage to opposing quarterbacks, yards per attempt to opposing quarterbacks, touchdown rate, and fantasy points. They're a legit defense. They are very, very good. The offense has given them very little help right now, but I think it's a tough matchup for Geno Smith and the entire Seahawks offense going to New Orleans to play the Saints. But the point that I wanted to make was one that I started on with Jared Goff, and I'm going to finish off right now, is that coming into the season, we talked about how there's so much depth at quarterback, right? There are 15, 18, 20 guys
in your top
that could
10.
Be real starters.
Yeah.
That could be top 10 plays. There's not. We've learned that quickly, is that the quarterback depth sort of stinks right now. You've got your must-haves. You got the guys like the Allens and the Mahomes and the Hurts and the
Justin Herbert.
Yeah, Lamar, yep. Justin Herbert. Kyler Murray's been good enough, even if he hasn't been like otherworldly so far.
Yep.
Dak's been hurt. But think about some of the guys that either have been bad all the way through or just recently got good, right? Tom Brady's had one good game in 4. Matthew Stafford, bad so far. Aaron Rodgers, bad so far. Dak Prescott, I mentioned, hurt.
It's tough across the board. I mean, there's Joe Burrow has been sort of in
he's
between
been better the past couple weeks, and even that week 1 in a terrible like real life performance was fantasy salvageable. Russell Wilson, not great so far. Derek Carr, not great so far, right? I mean, all these quarterbacks that we had high hopes for, not all of them, but many of the quarterbacks we had high hopes for have not returned investment so far or have performed under expectation. So I think this year, more than ever, there's the opportunity to play the matchup game more. And I think that Jared Goff and Geno Smith are two. I could throw, I know this sounds crazy after how he's played the past 2 weeks, but I could throw Carson Wentz into that mix. Trevor Lawrence is part of that mix.
100%.
These are guys that I think have more streaming value than I would have forecasted coming into the season. Goff and Smith, don't love them as much this week as I have in previous weeks, but you're going to have weeks where Jared Goff draws, whether it's, you know, it's an underperforming defense, whether it's a game where you just think he's got the right matchup for whatever reason, right? He's going to be useful.
Yep.
Pass catcher's really good. And so I just, that's the point I wanted to make on quarterbacks, is that streamers might be more valuable this year than prior years, especially if you find yourself in that sort of purgatory right now where it's like, I've got Aaron Rodgers. He's great, right? But
I will say Geno Smith, too, as a streamer, has utilized not a ton, but like he's utilized his legs a little bit, I think, which has been really nice for him.
His first 3 games, not at all. And then last week, 49 rushing yards and a touchdown. So
which was awesome.
That's 10.9 fantasy points just on the ground. He's a good athlete. That much is for sure. Before I would be remiss not to mention this, Stefania, do you have, maybe too early, do you have any sense on whether Amon-Ra St. Brown could play on Sunday? Because that does have an impact on Jared Goff's value.
Yeah, no, I don't yet. I'm curious to see what he does in practice this week.
Dan Campbell's pretty good about giving us injury updates as well, so I'm sure he'll talk to the media at some point here soon. Stefania, you're up with the Saints. Wide receiver.
Chris Olave, staying hot. And not just because he's talented, not just because we're starting to see the Chris Olave that we had hints of in the preseason.
Yep.
It's what we know he's utilized as. He is their deep guy. 206 or 205 rather more air yards than any other receiver. That's 45% more air yards than second place, averaging 18.4 air yards per target. So you're going every time he makes a play, the point is it's probably going to be highly productive.
Yeah.
And then let's factor this in. Okay, last week, London, Andy Dalton was the quarterback, and we were wondering if Chris Olave would get his. He did. Jameis Winston likely back this week. What does he like to do? Air it out. More Chris Olave. I don't think Michael Thomas will play this week. Jarvis Landry had 2 catches for 7 yards as banged up wide receiver last week. Who's going to catch the ball?
That's a great question. Who is going to catch the ball in that offense?
Okay. Yeah, that's what I meant. That's my point. Like, there's nobody else. And I think that we saw a glimmer of this in the preseason. We saw the connection start to happen. But remember, Jameis Winston and Michael Thomas and Chris Olave, they were never on the field all at the same time. Michael Thomas was held out, so there was a nice rapport developing between Jameis and Chris Olave. I think this is... he's going to stay hot, certainly for this week, but I think this is also an indication of him on the rise going forward.
And a great matchup against Seattle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I'm going to jump on Tyler Higbee taking on the Dallas Cowboys. Here's the thing, and I'm going to save a little bit here because I know Liz Lowe's also wants to talk about Tyler Higbee. We have Tyler Higbee ranked over Kyle Pitts, over George Kittle, over Dallas Goedert, and that's in part because he and Cooper Kupp combined for 24 catches on 33 targets on Monday Night Football. The rest of the Rams, all of the Rams, had 8 catches on 15 targets. It is clear that Tyler Higbee is the number two receiving option in this offense right now for Matthew Stafford. It does not make a difference if Matthew Stafford is a bad quarterback for either Cooper Kupp or Tyler Higbee, because they are both getting a ton of volume.
Yep, sure. Period. They and the Bengals are the two teams with the fewest explosive plays so far this season. The Rams and Cincinnati. They can't pass protect.
That's
you
crazy.
Can't take shots down the field.
I'm worried about Matthew Cooper Stafford. Kupp. He had to deal with the Niners, and now he's got to deal with the Rams. The Cowboys. God, I'm like...
It's a long week, long season. How is it that Jamar Chase, like the Bengals offense with Jamar Chase, has the second fewest explosive plays of any team?
Cover two, baby. Cover two. Last one here for me. Stay hot. Breece Hall against the Dolphins on Sunday. Jets running back had 63.3% of the running back touches in week 4, higher than any prior week by about 10%. He's becoming the man in this backfield. He played 45 snaps last week. Michael Carter played just 29. And who leads all running backs and targets this year? None other than Breece Hall. We told you it might be a bit of a slow start for Breece Hall because Michael Carter, as Mike LaFleur described him, heartbeat of the offense. Well, Breece Hall is the most talented running back on this team. It's pretty clear. They're going to need him on Sunday against the Dolphins. Even with offensive line issues, I have Breece Hall as a top 20 running back play to stay hot.
I like it. Me too. Stefania, who do you want to close this out with?
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? That's what Aaron Rodgers is going to be saying when he's looking for him against the New York Giants in London. Romeo Doubs becoming an increasing focus target for Aaron Rodgers. Target share has gone up from 12% the first game he played with them up to 25% last week. New York Giants defense does not scare you. They're the only defense without an interception so far this year, especially their corners. Not very scary. I like Romeo this week.
Yeah, I like Romeo this week too. I've met wide receiver 29 inside my top 30. Excited to see that continue, hopefully, with Aaron Rodgers. All right, we're going to come back and talk about a few more players, hoping they get hot here in a second. But first, a word from a few of our friends. The NFL action is in full swing at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. We're talking touchdowns, big plays, and even bigger wins. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win $200 in free bets if they do. So check this out. In addition to the usual bets, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. To make things even sweeter, you can throw down on stepped-up same-game parlays once per game all season long. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FFF to get $200 in free bets if your team wins when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code FFF only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in Tennessee. Call or text Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Bonus to shoot is free bets. One early win token to shoot opt-in. Moneyline bets only. Deposit and wagering restrictions apply. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? You would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
That read was better than mine. It,
well, you know,
You were about to.
Saying.
All right. Field Yates. Yesterday, we saw Chris Godwin. Yesterday, this week, in week 4, we saw Chris Godwin for
we're
the first time.
Tonight, I know. By the way,
it is.
Well, Fields not, because Fields speaks well all the time, even when he's off air. But Daniel and I are getting tongue-tied
today. We're tired. It's been the start of the season. But Chris Godwin, saw him last week for the first time. Gets the Atlanta Falcons here in week 5. Do you think that he gets hot here?
Yeah, and I want to be clear. Like, I'm not trying to say that what he did last week was not impressive. He had 7 catches for 47 yards. When I say get hot, I mean the possibility that those catches turn into more yards per reception, that utilization continues. I mentioned it yesterday. 45 routes on 53 dropbacks last week. That was the second most routes run in the NFL in all of week 4. He had 8.4 yards per catch last week. I said 47 yards. I obviously screwed that number. I believe the number was 57 yards. Still, importantly, his career average is 13.5 yards per catch. I'm not saying he's going to immediately get back to 13.5 yards per catch. They may still want to use him more near the line of scrimmage than where he would normally be, but still really encouraging signs. The fact that he stayed on the field was most important. Mm-hmm. Stefania mentioned yesterday an abdomen injury we're going to keep our eyes on, but unless that prevents him from playing, I think that Chris Godwin gets very hot on Sunday.
Heck yeah, love that. And very excited about it. I've been waiting for all of my Chris Godwin shares to be able to, ready to start cashing in. All right, I've got Jonathan Taylor. Did you know Jonathan Taylor has been running back 22 over the first 4 weeks of the season?
Oh, I'm well aware.
Do you know that over the last 3 weeks, just like, let's take out his big week 1, he's running back 37. It's not been good. That's going to change, though. I'm telling you right now, that's going to change for Jonathan Taylor. Even though he's not been a top 20 running back in any of the last 3 weeks, he has what is going to be the second easiest schedule from here on out per Mike Clay for fantasy running backs. Jonathan Taylor also is third in the NFL in touches with 90, in spite of the fact that he has been bad and this entire Colts offense has not been great. Yeah. He is getting a ton of volume and opportunities. Yep. He has the second easiest schedule coming up. I still think fantasy is an emotional game. Hmm. I know a lot of Jonathan Taylor managers that are out there that are frustrated with how bad he has been. I'm throwing Jamal Williams and someone else out there to Jonathan Taylor manager saying, hey, Jonathan Taylor might not play this week, Stefania?
Yeah, so I actually think that with this short week, I know we heard about Jonathan Taylor saying he wanted to play and he's planning on playing, and that just tells you the mindset that he has, which is what we love about the athletes. He's preparing as if he's going to play, but this is still a very short week for a sprained ankle. It's too important to the offense. I would be inclined to think, I think they'll take it up to game time, but as of right now, I would plan on Jonathan Taylor not playing. If you've got him, you need to make other plans, contingency plans.
Other plans for this week. Yeah. I love Jonathan Taylor. He is absolutely going to rebound. He is not going to continue to be this player that he is right now. However, fantasy is an emotional game, period. And if you know that you have a manager that is struggling and frustrated with how they have started with Jonathan Taylor, listen, my friend Angelica talks about fantasy trades like this. You got to be a bit of a flirt. It's a bit of a dance, but I'm going to give it a chance, okay? And she's rarely ever satisfied.
Swipes right?
Yeah, she does, yes. She's rarely ever satisfied with her fantasy trades, but I'm telling you right now, Jonathan Taylor is a perfect buy low option if you have a manager that is 1-3 or 0-4. Lean on the emotions. Obviously, he was the number one overall player drafted, but lean on the emotion that player is feeling to try and squeeze Jonathan Taylor out, because he is going to get better from here on out. I promise you.
Just so funny to think back to the offseason when people would snarl at you if you said, like, hey, I think there's a case for Christian McCaffrey first overall. Christian McCaffrey, dude, doesn't even play anymore, right? Like, Jonathan Taylor's money in the bank, you moron. Okay, it's not like Christian McCaffrey's been lighting the world on fire, right? But, like, there's so much time during the offseason that we have no choice but to talk about things a lot.
Yep.
Fantasy football is so freaking unpredictable.
Yep.
Like, just a little bit of kindness goes a long way here. Like, none of us are going to be right 100% of the time.
Oh, yes.
Hopefully we're Rashad wrong. Hopefully we're only wrong a little occasionally. What'd you say?
Rashad Penny. Remember when I broke up with him?
I know, but hey, you know what? It happens.
You know what? Sometimes it motivates people when you break up.
That's right. You break up with it. Right. That's right. Yeah. Najee Harris and Deontay Johnson and Terry McLaurin breaking up with you.
Really quickly, I'm not saying you go out. First off, I'm not trying to sell Jonathan Taylor. And there's a very high likelihood that the manager that has him will not move on from him. But Fantasy is an emotional sport. Go out there and try is all I'm saying.
I love the fact that you called it a sport. Okay.
It is a sport.
I'm going to talk about Melvin Gordon because I feel badly for Melvin Gordon. This is me. I'm always the empath. I'm always the one who feels bad for the player who gets hurt or the player who's not performing well. Melvin Gordon is certainly getting his share of opportunities, but he's also fumbling the ball a lot. Mm. We talked about it yesterday. It's not, he's had fumble. It's not like this has come from nowhere. He's had some fumble issues before, but not like this.
Yep.
Not like multiple game after game, which then you think it just makes it much more tough for the player. But here's the thing. Now Javonte Williams is out with a horrible injury. We wish Javonte Williams well. They did bring in Latavius Murray, but there's going to be this week five, where Latavius Murray is probably not going to do much of anything. And I think Melvin Gordon is going to be given a real opportunity to get things right. And so I think the volume for Melvin Gordon is going to be up from what it was. I think he's going to dominate the running back share. I think he's going to he's going to catch some passes. He's going to carry the ball. Like,
he's going to have to.
And he's going to protect the
ball. It's a massive
opportunity. He's going to protect the ball.
It's a massive opportunity. I agree with you. My assessment yesterday was that the pressure, understanding that his job is one fumble away from no longer being his job, is going to galvanize Melvin Gordon. I'm confident as well as a top 20 play.
All right. A couple of guys that we have ranked over top of Melvin. Sorry. Is this right? Oh, no. I messed this up. Apologies. A couple of guys that we have decided, Field and I, have a few players ranked over Melvin Gordon. Is that right? Nope, so I'm reading the note wrong. Sorry.
There you go. Ready? Guys that you have to make a decision to buy tomorrow.
That's right.
Okay. So you have Melvin Gordon ranked ahead
of
these players, right?
Yes. Yep. James Robinson and Najee Harris. But that's not true because we have Melvin Gordon ranked ahead of both of those guys. So I'm not sure.
Must be reading the note wrong. Yes. What the note is saying is that we have Melvin Gordon ranked ahead of players such as James Robinson and Najee Harris, which is accurate and true. And by the way, not that difficult on Najee, Daniel.
Honestly.
Oh, it's me. Okay.
Well, here's the thing. I'll say this.
I love us today.
Last week, it's a long season. Last week, right? We did squirrel stock. I said, Najee Harris, going to have a couple of tough weeks coming out of this Jets game. And now I look at Najee Harris for the first time all season, ranked outside the top 12. What is he? Outside the top 15?
Najee.
Well, what is he, outside the top 20 this week?
Are we talking on the Steelers specifically all running backs?
I have him ranked as running back 25 on the for this week. Fields, you've got him at running back 24. Safe to say that squirrel stock down on Najee Harris does make sense now 2 weeks into
sure
it.
Does.
And they get the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which I believe you also mentioned, Field Yates, next week. It's not tough. It's not easy for this team these next couple weeks. I don't know what you do with
Najee
Harris.
Giving me some shades of Antonio Gibson last year. Some shades, right? In that, while I do think, you know, at the time, Antonio Gibson was dealing with injury, which Najee, I don't believe he had the foot injury from the preseason, but he's not like he's listed on the injury report or anything. But there are times in which I sit there and I watch the games of the Steelers play and I'm like, where on earth is he supposed to go?
Yep.
Beyond that, they don't have a choice. They're going to continue to go with him, but they're giving Jalen Warren a bit more work than how they used Najee Harris last year. Passing game utilization has been substandard. Mm. It's a tough one right now. I think Najee is a good player. I don't know if I think he's in a better situation. I don't think he would stack up with a CMC or a Saquon or a JT or even a Dalvin Cook, guys of that caliber. But it's a tough watch right now. It's a really tough. Maybe he would, by the way. Maybe he would. But it's a tough watch right now. And you're playing him more because you have to, not because you want to.
Yep. I have him. I mean, we all have him outside the top 20 at running back, meaning he is a flex play for us here in week five.
I feel like the offense is such a mess that it's so hard to evaluate him.
You know, it really is.
There are times where when he's running, where he looks so good. Remember that touchdown play where he stayed on his feet and spun around and barreled through people to get into the end zone? Like, he's got the talent. I looked at the schedule and I started looking weeks out because I thought, oh, he's going to get right after Buffalo. Dude, and then I looked at the schedule and I thought about their offensive line. I looked at them as a whole and I'm like,
it's going to be tough sledding.
If they get back to 500, does Mike Tomlin just retire?
I would.
It's like, you know what? I don't want that streak to end.
That's it. That's it.
No kidding.
All right. IBM Insight of the Weeks are performed by IBM. We are talking week five game breakers, players that have the highest ceiling over Mike's projected point total for the week. And Stephon Diggs on the other side of this Najee Harris game is taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. He is second in upside. Field Yates, We have him as a top five wide receiver, and it's not really hard to be able to talk about why.
He's also averaging over 40 points per game at home this season. Now, granted, he's only played one game at home. That being said, if you're looking for another reason to feel really confident about Stephon Diggs, but yeah, I think they get on track. The Steelers secondary, not the dominant force that it has been in prior years. Nope. The pass rush still has Alex Highsmith, who's only trailing Nick Bosa for total sacks so far this year, but no TJ Watt has impacted things dramatically. I expect the Bills to move the football easily. They are 14-point favorites. I think I saw it's like the largest point spread for like a quarterback making his first start in like a long time. Oof. That, of course, being Kenny Pickett. So, yeah, I think the Bills roll. I think Stephon Diggs has a massive Sunday. Agreed. Massive.
Agreed. All right. How about Jalen Waddle, Stefania, taking on the New York Jets? He's fifth in upside so far. All right. I'll take this one. I'll talk about it. Listen, this is it. 17th. I have him ranked inside the top 20. I think that his target share, in spite of what we've seen from Tyreek Hill, is still really high. Mm. His target share is like 28%, which when you have someone like Tyreek Hill on the other side who's getting over 30%, it's like, well, yeah, 60% of their passes are going to two guys. I'm not worried about Tyreek Hill. I still think that Jalen Waddle, he's going to have some ups and downs as a part of his game because of who Tyreek is. But against this Jets defense, I still think with Teddy Bridgewater under center, Jalen Waddle is an easy wide receiver two for me this week.
And Teddy looked good last week in relief duty. Looked really sharp. Yeah.
All right. Michael Pittman tomorrow night on Thursday. Sixth in upside, but he's taking on the Denver Broncos.
Happy birthday, Michael Pittman, today.
And oh, hey, yeah, so happy birthday, Michael
another
Pittman.
Another reason to like him this week. Yep. He just had a birthday. Look, the Indy offense has been hard to, speaking of hard to watch, this is also hard to watch, and there's a lot of things going on. Their offensive line underperforming. Matt Ryan struggling inside the pocket, which is a little weird because we know Matt Ryan has played well despite offensive line issues for years and years and years. And so Frank Reich talked about talking with Matt Ryan, sorting some of those things out, getting reads quicker. If you look back at week one, Michael Pittman was wide receiver five. And I think that is the talent of Michael Pittman. We know where he lives in this offense. Then he had the quad injury, missed a week. Hasn't been fantastic.
Hasn't been top 25 either the 2 weeks. On either side of the quad.
That's right. But they're going to have to pass. They're going to have to pass against Denver. I think that they're going to, I think the Indy offense is going to rise a little bit in Denver. I think Matt Ryan's going to get rid of the ball quicker. I think Michael Pittman's going to make some plays. So I think Michael Pittman has a little bit of a get right game tomorrow night.
I'm more nervous.
Are you?
Yeah.
More nervous, but still have him as a starter.
I've got
week?
Him a wide receiver 23. So, yeah. Okay. The whole thing makes me nervous. Denver's defense has been under-discussed because their offense is such a mess right now, but really good defense. No Randy Gregory, that obviously hurt, but Pat Surtain is like the real deal. Holyfield makes you super nervous. I've got him as wide receiver 23, so still likely in your lineup, but I am not expecting the breakthrough game to come on Thursday night.
I have him at wide receiver 18 in that same kind of tier. It's quite a bit lower than where we've had Michael Pittman earlier on in the season.
He's been out of the top 25. If he gets inside the top 20, which I think he will, that's already working his way back closer into to
it.
Where
I would love
he
that.
Was.
Yeah, I love it.
Especially after the against the Broncos. All right. We got our friend Liz Loza coming up next. But first, football season brings so many traditions that we know and love. Jamal Williams touchdown dances, the thick six, game winning field goals, highlight plays that break open your fantasy matchup, and watching it all with friends in a cooler full of Miller Lite. The action on the field is reliable year after year. So pair it with the most reliable light beer. Remember, any game time is Miller time. Miller Lite is the perfect beer for your football Sundays or your football Mondays or your football Thursdays. There's the reliable taste you can count on, and it's always a crowd favorite for the low-calorie count. Miller time means good friends, great beer, and football all Sunday long. And since 1975, Miller Lite has been a mainstay in the stadium and at tailgates and in your fridge. It's the beer drinker's light beer, and Miller tastes like beer. Because if you're a beer lover, you don't want watered-down flavor. You want the original light beer. Football season brings back the big hits, a reach for the biggest hit of them all, Miller Lite. You can find Miller Lite pretty much anywhere that beer is sold, or go to MillerLite.com/FFF for delivery options near you. It's Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces.
Welcome to a new age of business powered by creativity, and IBM is helping make it happen by creating experiences your customers actually want to experience. ESPN's fantasy football app uses AI from IBM to analyze scores, stats, and millions of data points, uncovering insights so fans can make smarter decisions and optimize their fantasy league winning outcomes. Let's create something that changes everything. IBM. Let's create. Learn more at IBM.com/fantasyfootball.
All right, back, and we're going to bring in Liz Loza to talk about a couple of players that she is on this week. Liz, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you, friend?
I am doing well. What does your t-shirt say? I want to know what your t-shirt says. I'm a big t-shirt fan.
It says, on Sundays, we watch football.
Hey.
But it's Wednesday.
That's a great shirt, Liz Loza. Love that shirt.
Yeah, big on that. All right, let's talk about a couple of players that you want to get into this week. I already mentioned him. I tried to leave a little bit of juice left within this orange. But Tyler Higbee taking on the Dallas Cowboys this week. What do you like about Tyler Higbee, other than everything?
Well, until Allen Robinson gets invited to that Soho brunch, Tyler Higbee is going to roll. These are just hashtag facts. He is top two in target share with a target share of over 25%. He's averaging 9.5 looks per game, and he's been efficient with those looks, recording the most receptions at the position with a grand total of 26. Doesn't hurt that he's also the only tight end to manage over 60 receiving yards for 3 straight weeks. That's consistency. That's efficiency. That is not fluky. And the volume does not figure to dip versus Dallas. The Cowboys have allowed the 7th most receptions to opposing tight ends. We love that in PPR.
Heck yeah, we do. I mean, that target share is unbelievable. If Allen Robinson ever starts to become a part of this offense, maybe we'll need to reassess this. But for the time being, it feels like Tyler Higbee is a set it and forget it starter for your tight end position. Liz, I want to talk about this next one. This next one is really juicy to me. You've got the Washington Commanders pass catchers. You got a pretty good matchup against the Tennessee Titans this week. But you've got Terry McLaurin as someone that you want to talk about. Why do you like Terry McLaurin here in week 5?
He's going to get hot. Did you know that Terry McLaurin is running 44.5 routes per game?
I did not know
that. That's the most of any wide receiver so far this season. He's also top 2 in deep targets with 10. I think that number could go up with Jahan Dotson, who, by the way, is top 5 with 7 in deep looks, obviously sidelined for a little bit here. The matchup, you know, that he's had, he's drawn a couple of tough coverage assignments, and I think that's capped his production, but I'm not worried about it. As you mentioned, versus Tennessee, the Titans have allowed the 4th most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. This is the moment when Terry starts to get very scary. In time for spooky season, best season.
Oh, wow. That was really good right there for the record. I really like that. Also, I think I need to change my rankings on Terry McLaurin. I think you're right. The idea that Jahan Dotson isn't going to be there, I think that you've just made everything click in my head, knowing that this Tennessee defense is not quite as strong as you want it to be. I got to move him up from 31. We'll figure out where I'm going to put him. All right. Alvin Kamara. One more guy. Another one that you think is going to get hot. Taking on the Seahawks, I think we watched a team take advantage of the Seahawks last week. Doesn't make a difference if it was a win or a loss. It was just a lot of fantasy points. But do you see Alvin Kamara doing the same thing again here this week?
Well, yeah. I mean, we all know that when healthy, Alvin Kamara is a top 5 producer. I mean, he missed 4 games last year, and he still finished inside the top 10 fantasy producers overall on the season. He's only played 2 games this season, and he's still recorded a top 10 breakaway run rate. The upside is obvious. The problem is, right, he hasn't been healthy. Stefania has talked so eloquently and thoroughly about it, but I would say he almost played last week, as a lot of fantasy managers probably woke up in my time zone to discover. He was, in fact, out, but that should mean that he's close. And even at less than 100%, he should put up numbers against the Seahawks defense that has allowed the 4th most fantasy points to opposing running backs.
Absolutely like that call as well. All right, Liz, we're going to take some questions from our fans because we're about 4 weeks into the season. Okay. A lot of people have a lot of questions about their fantasy teams, and there is a lot of emotion surrounding these players. So I'm going to dive into this. First off, this one's going to be a little bit easier. Who's your favorite streaming option this week? Do you have a favorite streaming for defenses here in week 5?
I like the Jags defense, actually. They've been opportunistic. This is a team that's recorded 7 picks. By the way, that's the same number as the Buffalo Bills. And Davis Mills has recorded 4 interceptions over the past 2 games. So I like that as a sneaky stream.
Absolutely. 94% available, plus 5 or more fantasy points in every single game this season. I like the Jaguars as a streamer. All right. Matthias wants to know, here's where the emotion starts to kick in, Liz. Pat Freiermuth is tight end 7 or Kyle Pitts as tight end 18. Who do you like more rest of season, Pat Freiermuth or Kyle Pitts?
Well, I like the tight end that's actually running routes.
Oh, I know.
And Freiermuth. Yeah, he's got 102 and Pitts has, wait for it, 73. So, you know, in fact, last week, like if we're also talking about targets, something that we all know Pitts isn't getting enough. I thought Field was manifesting this, by the way. Like I thought we were speaking this into existence. Don't get lazy. You better get those crystals back out, Field. We need more Zhuge. You can't just think one game against Seattle is going to solve the problem. But anyway, Freiermuth led the Steelers pass catchers and targets last week with Kenny Pickett under center. So I don't see the change in quarterback negatively affecting Freiermuth at all.
Yeah, I agree with that. Really quickly, how do you spell Zhuge? Do you know?
It's up to you. It's one of those words. It's one of those words. Just a feeling.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Got it. That makes a lot of sense. All right. Next question comes from Rollins15. Wants to know Alan Lazard, wide receiver 26 this season from a points per game basis, or Tyler Lockett, who's wide receiver 27 for the rest of the season. Are you going with Geno Smith's Tyler Lockett, or do you think Alan Lazard gets it going with Aaron Rodgers?
Well, for me, wide receivers, there are two big tiebreakers: talent and targets. And Lockett wins the tiebreaker in both of those matchups, even if the quarterback is not Aaron Rodgers. So I'm going to go with Lockett. He is averaging 8.5 targets per game, and the Seattle Seahawks defense is not going to keep Geno Smith in a low passing volume situation. So as we've seen so far, and we know that Lockett is one of the like best technicians in the game. Yep. Lazard isn't, frankly. Like he's just not. I don't even know really if Lazard is like a number one, frankly, which is kind of helping the ascent that we talked about on FF Now of Romeo Doubs. So yeah, I'm gonna stick with Lockett.
Pretty sure Stefania has told us that Romeo Doubs is the wide receiver one for the rest of the season going forward without any question, right?
Yeah,
a lot of conviction there. Yeah, a lot of conviction in that one. All right. Here's a question. Jacob Presley wants to know, are you going to start Amari Cooper or Damian Pierce this week in the flex? Amari Cooper was actually really good the first 3 weeks of the season and then a huge dud last week. Damian Pierce has had over 18 fantasy points each of the last 2 weeks. Which way are you going in the flex?
So generally in flexes, generally, right? There's always an exception to every rule. I tend to prefer a running back because of the touchdown equity and the floor therefore associated when I'm in a flex, especially if the running back I'm choosing from is Pierce, who is just crushing it. I think he's top 10 in red zone touches and he scored in back-to-back weeks. So while I don't like advocate for chasing touchdowns, running back is a position that is in often, you know, goal-friendly situations. So I think in this situation, especially because of the weird variance that Cooper is putting up and Jacoby Brissett, I will lean on Pierce.
Okay. I like that call as well. Here's one from Zeb Gozman. Is it worth it to trade Jonathan Taylor at this point in the season? Maybe for a guy like Alvin Kamara or Leonard Fournette. Liz, underperforming stars, Jonathan Taylor. Are you moving on from him?
Yeah, I don't know what kind of like market you're going to get. Although if he is in a PPR friendly league and Leonard, I'll tell you what, you know what? Normally I'd be like, I don't know what you're going to get for him. Like you're certainly not going to get what you paid for him. But if he's in a PPR friendly league and Leonard Fournette, he can talk a Leonard Fournette manager into flipping Fournette for Taylor and he agrees to stash Rashad White, then I will approve that trade.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm advocating to try and trade for Jonathan Taylor, as I think things are going to get better from here on out, especially with all of the volume that he has gotten. But it's tough. Fantasy, the fact that we're even getting questions, and we have gotten a lot of them, about what should I do with Jonathan Taylor means that people are considering moving on from Jonathan Taylor. So if you are a manager that wants to go out and potentially grab somebody low, or if you are a Jonathan Taylor manager and you just want more volume, you want more, something better, a Leonard Fournette or an Alvin Kamara, and then maybe another piece, like try and go out and get something. I don't think there's anything wrong with being aggressive, especially with the way that fantasy has started out this year for running backs. I'm all in. Go out and try and find Jonathan Taylor, but I'm not trying to move on from him unless I'm really getting something good, because I really do think that better days are ahead. All right.
It also depends on your record, right? Like if you have a losing record, then I imagine you're like, I have to do something. You can't just sit there and let yourself lose. So I'm imagining if you're trying to shop Jonathan Taylor, it's because you're probably, you know, 1 in 3 or something.
And good for you. For the record, I'm going to say this to everybody on the set, but like, this is one of those things. If you are shopping Jonathan Taylor because you are 1 in 3 or you are 0 in 4, good for you. Because you know how many people are just going to sit there with Jonathan Taylor on your roster for the entirety of this season and go 3 and 12. And there's no, you've got nothing left to fight for. There's no point in playing fantasy football at that point. So give yourself a chance to continue to fight the good fight and move on from that point. Doesn't mean you need to take like pennies on the dollar for Jonathan Taylor, but find a way to be able to stay competitive if you have started slow, to Liz's point. All right. I got one more question here, and this one's going to be for Stefania. Actually, I got two more questions. This one's for Stefania. I want to ask Stefania from Dan S., how long do you wait on George Kittle? He's been tight end 20 or worse in both of his games so far this season, Stefania, as a resident 49ers fan. What do you do with Kittle?
Yes, Dan, I understand. We talked about how George Kittle is being called on to do more things besides catch passes, and that's part of the challenge. But, and I don't usually do this because we do that if he had scored, but in this case, it's not like we're saying if they'd just thrown him a touchdown. He actually caught what looked like a touchdown pass. The second foot was just on the edge there. If you add that, if you added those points to his score, he's borderline top 10 tight end for this week. So I think the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo was looking for him in the red zone and actually connected with him, even though it didn't count, tells you that better days are ahead. Also, look at their next couple matchups: Carolina, Atlanta. You are keeping George Kittle. I think he's going to be more involved.
All right. Last question, Liz, comes from M Cubed.
And by the way, tight end is a wasteland. You know, so outside, you don't have a ton of better options unless you're telling me you've got Tyler Higbee and that's who you're, because of the volume. Okay.
Or Gerald Everett, maybe, because
maybe, but I don't even trust the Charger. I think better days are ahead for George Kittle in a hurry.
This question comes from M Cubed. 12 team standard scoring. Although I never know what standard scoring is. Standard scoring PPR now?
Non-PPR.
So
I see what you're saying.
Like PPR is standard scoring. Right. I just say non-PPR.
I consider standard scoring for us PPR.
For us PPR now. Yeah. That is true.
So,
that was a gut reaction because for so long, standard scoring was non-PPR until we switched to standard scoring is PPR.
So I don't know if standard scoring is PPR or non-PPR, but 12 team league, flex. Cortland Sutton taking on the Colts this week, or Ramondre Stevenson taking on my Detroit Lions in that tasty matchup? Liz, which way are you going in the flex?
This is a good one. This one has me flip-flopping a little bit. Obviously, Ramondre Stevenson getting that work in the passing game has been awesome, even if Damian Harris is still seeing the goal line touches. But Cortland Sutton has been very consistent over the past 3 weeks. He's been inside the top 20 for 3 straight outings. And I feel like the upside there with Russ potentially starting to simmer is the way that I would like to go in my flex. I know it's tough because it's a Thursday night game, but I still think I'd probably flex Sutton for the upside. And because we're not sure whether or not Stevenson is going to own the goal line because of Harris's presence.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Cortland Sutton has been really, really good so far. Very consistent for Russell Wilson.
It's a nice problem to have right there. Yeah, flex options are Cortland Sutton and Ramondre Stevenson. Everybody had bad drafts except for you.
Yeah, right? That's fantastic. All right, Liz, thank you so much for joining us. We love being able to have you here. Follow her at LizLoza_FF. Also, Liz and I have a column coming out with our buddy DJ Gallo a little bit later this week called Fantasy Improv. Make sure you check it out. Liz, we'll see you next week. All right. Field Yates.
Yes, sir. You want to wrap things up today?
Kind of. I think
we're
ready.
With some pizza talk?
Yeah.
Little Caesars Preview is brought to you by Little Caesars. It's game day with Little Caesars, the official pizza sponsor of the NFL. Pizza. And let's start on Thursday. We talked about it earlier on in the show. Does Jonathan Taylor play? And if he doesn't, how does the rest of the Colts backfield shake out? I think Nyheim Hines has the best chance to lead the Colts in running back opportunities. You might see some Phillip Lindsay revenge game, might see some Deion Jackson as well. But if I had to play one, it remains Nyheim Hines. Meanwhile, Russell Wilson had his best game of the season in week 4. Can that continue in week 5? That Colts secondary does have some legitimate pieces. Stephon Gilmore has played some good football for them so far this season. Let's move forward to Sunday, and I can't wait for Sunday night football. The Ravens and the Bengals, 2 games, 2 teams that are 2-2. It's possible this game will be for first place after just 5 weeks in the AFC North. But think about all the things that have gone well for the Bengals over the past 2 weeks.
What do we know about that Ravens secondary? Still vulnerable down the field, especially when it's not pouring rain like it was this past Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. People that are lamenting the fact that Ja'Marr Chase has been just okay since week one. Does that get back on track Sunday night? Can T. Higgins continue to be Ja'Marr Chase? I mean, he's basically been Ja'Marr Chase from last year, at least in recent weeks. Those two guys have an opportunity to, I think, really ball out on Sunday night against a Ravens secondary that has been, at times, extremely generous this season. And then on Monday night, two running backs that I think were perhaps under-discussed coming into the season. Josh Jacobs is doing what you'd expect him to do if you saw just his workload, right? We talked about it at the beginning of the show. He is the guy in the Las Vegas backfield. He's getting all the opportunities. Meanwhile, Clyde Edwards-Helaire isn't even playing the most snaps amongst running backs on his own team, and he's breaking every model. Mike Clay's brain has been broken by how Clyde Edwards-Helaire has performed so far this season. He just keeps finding the end zone. At some point, gravity will catch up to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but in fantasy football, with all the running backs that are not performing, or all the running backs that have been underperforming or not available right now, maybe Jonathan Taylor is one of them this week. You got to keep playing Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And hope that this Chiefs offense, which is as prone as anybody to finding the end zone, keeps giving him those goal line opportunities. Can't wait for Monday Night Football. Every AFC West game is must see. And if you're the Raiders right now, 1-3, you have some life after that big week 4 win. You want to keep that role in week 5 against the Chiefs. No better stage than Monday Night Football.
Heck yeah.
Can't wait for that. That's a Little Caesars preview brought to you by Little Caesars.
I'm ready to fast forward to Monday night just to be able to watch this game.
So excited for Monday night. Can't wait.
Monday Night Football has been really good.
It's been good. It's been good so far.
Yeah, really good.
All right.
Especially last week. Just saying.
What happened?
What happened last week?
Yeah.
Would you like me to walk through it again?
Tell me more.
We are on to week 5. That's going to do it for us today. We are back tomorrow, Thursday.
Yeah,
our buddy Mike Clay is here. We're going to talk wide receiver cornerback matchups. We're going to preview Thursday Night Football, dive into a handful of games. Is it Thursday yet?
Almost.
We love you guys.
Monday till football.
Jonathan Taylor, big status question going to Thursday night.
Full preview of that game tomorrow.
That's right. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
13 days till NBA season starts.
Yes.
NHL starts next Tuesday.
Basketball. Can't wait.
We're going to have 3 sports going all at the same time.
Four.
Baseball's still happening.
Oh my God, is a sports bonanza.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.